Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. We're continuing on with the section most known as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So you all might be more into artisan foods and esoteric things than I am. But I remember being so surprised a couple of years ago when I heard somebody talking about selling Kraft sea salt. Now, I'm pretty familiar with Kraft beer or even kind of other Kraft cheese or those sorts of things that have become popular in our recent times. But when I heard the idea of Kraft sea salt, I was just kind of amazed that people were going in that direction. So this Kraft sea salt, the way they get it is they take various kinds of ocean water from different parts of the sea near where people live, and they mix it together, and then they evaporate the water, just kind of like a big desalination plant, only it's in small batches, because apparently these different kinds of water and the different kinds of microbes and plankton that live in the water will give the salt a different flavor. So they evaporate the water, and then they take the little pile of salt that's left over and they put it in a little jar, and they charge for like 4 ounces, $20. Who's ever paid $20 for 4 ounces of salt? I'm always pretty excited when I'm buying salt, you know, to put outside on my sidewalk when I can find those 50-pound bags for $8 at Home Depot. So this, you know, you're not going to use this Kraft sea salt for your sidewalk. But apparently, if you use this salt the right way, it makes the food you're cooking taste much, much better. There are other things that they do with Kraft salt. So instead of having the fancy sea salt, they take just regular salt, or maybe it's sea salt, but not so fancy. And then they mix these different herbs and spices with it, and they let it kind of absorb them, and then they take the herbs back out, and then they sell those jars for another exorbitant amount of money. But it's all about the salt. Salt is really an amazing thing. And so when Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth," he is proclaiming a mighty thing. He's talking about our value, our importance, and the expectation that we will be an influence in the world. Salt has a great history. There were times in ancient days when it was used as currency. It was so valuable. It was something that was given as a present to dignitaries when they would come and visit towns and villages. Wars have been fought over salt. Trade routes developed to move salt from places where it was abundant to places where it was scarce. And salt is essential to life. Salt is used for preservation. Salt draws out impurities. Salt changes things from tasteless to amazing. But it also has its difficult parts. It can ruin things. It kills grass or other living things when poured upon it. Salt water is useless to a person who is dying of thirst and surrounded only by salt water. It can take a delicious pot of soup and turn it into something that is disappointing and very bitter to the mouth. So salt has all these things about it, and Jesus says to us, "You are the salt of the earth." And we're reminded that that gives us great power on the one hand for good, and great power on the other hand for ill. We have the power to change and transform and improve the world around us with our saltiness. And we have the power to break and destroy and to disturb the world around us as well. And Jesus reminds us of that as well. He says, if salt has lost its flavor, what good is it? If you are no longer lifted, energized, living as the salt, what good are you in this kingdom of God? So that's the challenge that we have to live with. We have to discover for ourselves. The good thing is that on the days when we're not so salty, when we seem like that inert substance that might just get tossed out with the trash, we always have another day, another sunrise to try again. We can become salty again. So we learn how to live being the good parts of salt, bringing life and hope and light and taste and flavor to the world. We learn how to not harm. We learn how to not overwhelm. And we can be like cooks in the kitchen who know sometimes we get it right and sometimes we end up with a big mess for dinner. You guys are probably better cooks than I am. But salt changes things, and it changes us. So learning how to live up to this idea that Jesus has planted within us, how do we learn to be the right kind and right flavor and right strength of salt? How do we know when it's important to speak up for justice but not say too much? How do we know when it's the time to be silent and to let others speak? How do we know when it's important to be present and encouraging for others when they seem to have lost their voice and not take over and make it about ourselves? How do we know when our silence and decision to sit back and see what happens is causing harm? How do we know when to act and when to be still? For me, it comes with being mindful, learning to be in the moment, to see the big picture of what's going on around us, and find a way to listen for that voice of God within us, calling us to who we are and what we can become. We can realize that we have a power to make a difference, and how we use that power is what Jesus is talking about here when he says we are the salt of the earth. He didn't just call us salt so we could sit idly by and see what happens in the world around us. Jesus calls us salt to call us into action, to do something to make the world better. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we don't. But if we do nothing, we are sure to get it wrong. We become that kind of salt that has lost its flavor. So God calls us to be faithful. It's a call to action. Today, there are millions of people across the country who will later sit down around their TVs to participate in the great tradition we call the Super Bowl. It's a big football game. Lots and lots of money is spent. People pay hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars to get tickets to the game and to spend a week there participating in all kinds of events. Some people sit down and watch the game to see the actual football being played. But there's others who watch for the commercials, and still others who wait for the halftime show, and still others who turn to other places online and watch the Puppy Bowl or the Clydesdale Bowl or other takeoffs on this game. And there's parties and food and overeating. And I think I've read in the past that more food is eaten on this day in our country than almost any other day of the year. And that means more food is wasted as well. There'll be winners and losers, and a lot of people will miss work tomorrow. And so there was a group of young people about 20 years ago or so who were thinking about this Super Bowl, and they thought about the idea of how many people would be going hungry today. And they said, hey, why don't we have a thing called the Super Bowl, called S-O-U-P-E-R, and collect soup and money, because everybody is spending so much and has so much. Let's make an effort to help those who have so little. Let's help those who are in need. So they began this collection of cans of soup in congregations, in their congregation and then around their community, and now has grown to a national effort. The tradition of Super Bowl Sunday was born, and congregations and other groups across the country have made it their own. Some people serve a lunch like we do. Some people take a collection and they make different sculptures out of the cans that they have collected. Some people collect money. They do all kinds of things so that we can make this day not just about a celebration of this sport and money and overeating and overconsumption and overspending, but also a day in which we remember those who have less than we do. Millions of dollars have been raised, millions of cans of soup have been donated, and people participate just as a matter of course now. And we experience this day as a day of being salt. We're making a difference in the lives of people who have less than we do. That youth group was salt, and they've changed how this is experienced, this Super Bowl Sunday is experienced across our country. The Standing Rock Sioux Nation is home to the Dakota and Lakota people. They've lived and governed a vast territory of North and South Dakota and parts of Montana and Wyoming and Minnesota and Iowa and Nebraska for many, many years. They've been actively opposing the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline since they first learned about it in 2014. They've been opposing it because it goes through their tribal territories, it goes through their sacred lands, it adjoins and goes near their sacred waters that feed not only them, but many, many millions of people in our country. The tribe has had strong opposition to the planning and building of this pipeline in this area. And in recent months, I'd say most of us have become more and more aware of this protest because they've been getting some more media attention. There's been this historic gathering of indigenous nations at Standing Rock. Not just the indigenous nations of North America, but representatives from land around the world, from Australia, from Taiwan, from South America. Indigenous peoples have come together to support the peoples of Standing Rock, to say this is wrong that we would put this kind of a pipeline so close to our sacred lands, our burial grounds, and so close to the source of water for so many people. Because we know that the pipelines are not guaranteed to remain solid. They're afraid of the leaking that is likely to happen and the trampling of their sacred grounds by all of the construction workers and the people who will come after. This protest was started long ago, but many, many people have joined it from across the world. Whether we agree that the pipeline is a good idea or a bad idea, that the pathway that has been chosen is a good idea or a bad idea, it has drawn our attention, this protest has drawn our attention to how decisions like this are made and how people with money and power often are able to trample over the ideas and the rights of those who have less power. There are regulations about, and there are hoops that people are supposed to have to jump through, and consultation with Native Americans before things like this are built on their property, on their reservations. And none of those things have happened. And so we see the way of how a small group of people is able to bring this notion, this idea that we should stop something, a protest, a demonstration, to the attention of peoples around the world. One of the most amazing things I've heard about this particular demonstration is that there are a number of veterans, American veterans, who have traveled there to help provide protection and support to the Native Americans there. And there was a couple of busloads of people who went up from Western New York back before Christmas to help stand with the people there. And one of the things the veterans did with the representatives of the tribes represented there was to have a ceremony of forgiveness. The veterans asked for forgiveness for all of the ways over the last 500 years we have not shown respect toward the Native peoples. And there was this ceremony where Native peoples and American veterans sat together and talked with one another and forgave one another for these difficult things that had happened throughout our history together as people. A healing ceremony then took place, and everyone who left was moved by this grace that was able to take place between these two groups of people. These are demonstrations of salt, what it means to be you are the salt of the earth. People working to protect their sacred land, people working to protect the waters of the earth, they are salt. They speak and they act to make a difference. They take risks knowing that the outcome is uncertain. They show us the way to be salt in our own lives and in our own communities. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." No matter who you are, no matter where you are along the spectrum of God's people. You are called to do something as you live your faith in this time and place. You are the salt of the earth. Make sure that you are flavoring the world with your life. Amen.